Wow, that's fun, eh? Wow. I love when he shows up. Well done. He comes in wonder and power as we worship him, just praise his name. I love that. Christine is away today. She is having a day with the little girls who are not feeling well. And so we left them at home. They're having church at home. I don't think any of them are dancing today. So pray for them if you would. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing. I feel kind of far away here. Oh, thank you, Lord. That time of year, isn't it? It's just my skin is dry and just not good. Peter Kumar will be with us March 2nd to 4th. Yeah, 4th to. 4th to. He's going to preach to us on Sunday morning, and I believe there's an evening service that night as well. And he is fun, so you're gonna want to be a part of that. Healing prayer will extend what we had here tomorrow night. 7 o'clock downstairs. We pray for one another and see God doing wonderful stuff. It's just good. And if you self-identify as a male, come to the men's retreat. It got to be hip, you know. I dare you. Hallelujah. The warriors in the church are women these days. Thank you, Lord. Mark. I'm going to be in Mark today. Anybody feel more humble after I preached on humility last week? I did. Thank you very much. Steph? What a guy. Huh? I must sound like I need some. Mark 1. Verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." We're going to pick it up again in a sec, but it reads just a little differently in Matthew's gospel. This is all directed toward Jesus, this interrelationship between the Father and the Son with the Holy Spirit being a part of it. He's equipping him for what he's about to do. "You are my beloved Son." In Matthew, it says, that they heard him say. It was directed to the crowd more. This is directed toward him. I think it could have happened both ways, but just, you know, the Gospels are right, and my understanding is insufficient. But the beauty of this one, and what we need to be careful of is dealing with what's in front of us, right? Not reading it. I found myself reading it this week, and reading that everybody heard, everybody saw, everybody, because that's just the way I see it. But when I looked at it, it was he saw the heavens open, and he heard. And how individual and private and wonderful it is that God loves each of us so much. It's not just for Jesus that he did this right now. He did it just for Jesus, but he's doing it for all of us, equipping us and preparing us. I want to pick it up in verse 12. It's just the next verse. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. It's interesting because the word drove there is ekbalo. It's a Greek word that means violently cast out. You know, it's the same word they use for deliverance. You know, so he's, you get out there. Don't read anything into that. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John had... let's leave it there. The angels were ministering to him. Hallelujah. There is... In Europe, the European Common Market, the European Union, has this thing called Protected Geographical Indication, PGI. Protected Geographical Indication. What they do is if you make something, like grow it or prepare it, in a specific region... or in a specific place, and you name your product after that place, then nobody else is allowed to use that. So for an example, champagne. People can't use the word champagne to describe bubbly wine. Yeah, thank you. some cheeses, Roquefort, for example, is blue cheese. You know, it's called blue cheese unless it's specifically prepared in the Roquefort area, Roquefort-sur, whatever it is. Just, I've got it here. Roquefort-sur-Soissons is the area, and it's in the in this region of France, in southern France. And they have to take the cheese and they allow it to age in these caves that are there. And in these caves, there is a thing called Penicillium roqueforti that grows there. Penicillin, right? It's mold. And it grows in these caves. And it gives... The Roquefort cheese, a specific, distinct taste. Everybody else makes it by putting copper wire through it and making it go moldy that way. And the people that know it can tell the difference between a real Roquefort and a blue cheese. They just have this taste thing. People that... Like a sommelier, a man who or woman who knows their wines, they can tell the specific region. A good one can tell the specific vineyard and the soil that wine, the grapes for the wine were grown in. It's amazing what they can tell, but it's all location based, and they can identify the location. Now, 35 years ago, I used to drink a fair amount, and I could usually tell the difference between beer and wine. But that's as far as my taste went. I can't tell a whole lot of difference between one thing and another. If I enjoy something, I enjoy it. I don't try to, I wonder, what day of the week this was bottled on. This Roquefort cheese is made from sheep's milk and put into these caves and allowed to go moldy. And you have to pay extra for that. Yeah. And there's all kinds of other things that they do that way. Cognac, for example. Asiago cheese, camembert, all those kind of things. And it's all protected by the European Union. They will legally, take you to court if you use the name improperly. It's all under license. So, protected geographical indication, PGI. What we're looking at here is Jesus Jesus was called to a specific location. And location is important sometimes. Not all the time. But sometimes, he was driven out by the Holy Spirit, out into the desert, out into this wilderness area. And there was it was for preparation for his ministry. Before he sent him out, he made sure that he was grounded. You are my son, in whom I am well pleased. He was prepared to go to this specific place. Jesus also, it says, went out in different times. This was the longest one. It was only the only 40-day one he had. But in Matthew and John, they both tell us that after teaching a crowd all day and performing the miracle of feeding the 5,000, he dismissed the crowd and went out up to the mountain by himself to pray. Matthew 14, John 6. Mark reports that Jesus had spent a day preaching and healing. And the next morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place where he prayed. Luke tells us that in preparation for choosing the 12 who would become the apostles, he went out to the mountain and prayed and spent the night in prayer to God. That's Luke 6. Luke also tells about a time when Jesus, after healing a man of his leprosy, word of Jesus' ability spread like wildfire, and the crowds came to be healed. In the face of such a crush, Luke says, Jesus frequently withdrew to deserted places to pray. Jesus doesn't teach a whole lot about prayer. Does teach us a specific prayer, but mostly it's by example. Right? You have to observe him and pick up what he's doing. And so it was important to him to be drawn away at a time. Now, this time in the church calendar is called Lent, and I don't want to focus on that, but in Lent, we give up something, willfully give up something for God, and usually something that we enjoy, and I could see value in that as we prepare our hearts for Jesus having given up the most incredible thing, his life, and so we're trying to identify with him, but. Giving up isn't so much a part of the Jesus that I know. Satan subtracts and divides. God always adds and multiplies. Right? And so he's adding to us. He'll take away something bad and give us something better. And so I was processing this, just being aware that I'm preparing my heart for Easter. And such a wonderful time of year it is. And so I'm looking at Jesus, and how did he prepare for big things in his life? He got away to a specific location. It wasn't the same location all the time. It was, he got away to a place where he was by himself. And so for this season, I want to suggest that we might think about doing something like that. Just for an hour maybe. Or 4 hours. Or whatever it is you can build into your life. Have a retreat. Just you and Jesus. Take your Bible, take your notebook, nothing else. Go to a beach, go to a mountain, but make it someplace that's different than you would be at in your normal routine. The routine is good. Getting up, spending time with Jesus is wonderful, but there is something about getting to a different location that opens up our ability to hear anything. If we just quiet ourselves before him, we hear him in the birds or the waves or the stillness of the trees or whatever it is. But I want to encourage us to come out of whatever we're doing and add to our lives. Not Lenten take away, but add something into our lives, something wonderful, something that indicates you are so wonderful and I want to add something special into my life. Will you join me there, Lord? There was, I read this week about a letter that was written to a Catholic philosopher named Jacques Maritain by a 17-year-old girl. And nobody knows who the girl was. We still have the letter. But she was raised in the church and then found herself in a deserted place. And I think that was metaphorically, not in a physical sense, because of something that happened in her life. And she felt that she had lost God. She was angry about it and had written to this Catholic philosopher priest. And so in writing back, he told her that things would not always look to her as they did at this moment, which is wisdom, right? We know things change and we know things that move on. He appealed for her to use every ounce of her intellect and suggested some things for her to read. And then he added, "I'm not telling you to wait. I'm telling you rather to take advantage of the fact that you are completely broken and beaten to the ground in order to set yourself to a real search for truth. Putting your childhood behind you, I am not telling you to wait. I am telling you to pray as best you can." Blaspheming, perhaps, groping and stammering, tell God, "If you exist, make yourself known to me." And we could all get away for a time and be honest and real with God. What's this last year or these last years been to you? Has it been everything that you expected? Or have there been wind and waves that were just very hard to overcome that you may still be involved in? Terrible situations that you're going through. And you've never really had a chance to express your heart to him. I find that lots of people are a little afraid to be real with God. We can worship him, and we can acknowledge him, and we'll go to church, but if he were flesh and bone, sometimes we would want to just, "Why are you doing this to me?" But we're afraid to do that. Because he's big, and you never know. But he's good. He is good all the time. He's not going to take something away from you. He is thrilled that you can come and talk to him. He wants to talk. He wants to be with you. He wants to be alone with you and have you acknowledge that you want to be with him. And he'll listen to anything that you have to say, as real and as earthly as you want to make it. As this priest said to this gal, if you have to blaspheme, go ahead. He hears it all the time anyway. And he's not going to squish you under his thumb. He's not going to flatten your tire on the way. He loves you. And in this season, as we prepare for Easter, let's just get alone with him. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Just something out of the ordinary. This time of year, men, we can go to the beach and not have to avert our eyes all the time. You can actually enjoy looking at the waves and being there, Get away to a mountain if you want, or just a quiet country road, or a full-on retreat. The Mark Center in Abbotsford has regular retreats that they offer. And there's lots of other ones around too. But purpose in the next few weeks before April to somehow be proactive and carve out a time for just you and God. Take your Bible, but don't take an agenda. Just open it up and start to read. Take your journal, something to write on. As you start to get impressions, well, is that God? Who cares? Write it down. And look at it later and decide whether it's God or not. Don't prejudge it as it's, well, that's just me. It's just, what I ate or whatever. Just be with him and trust that he's going to talk to you. Make it out of the ordinary. The most healthy families, psychologists say, are the ones that go camping together. Why? Is it putting up tents and getting out? It's being out of the normal routine and having to come together in crisis. Because something always goes wrong when you're camping. Somebody steps on the fire or it rains a whole bunch. Or, it's just... And it makes a memory, and people have to come together to overcome an obstacle and build a memory together. And so do that with God. I'm asking you to do it, and I'm saying that I believe he's in this. He was on me all week just speaking this kind of stuff to me. Have my people come aside with me. Have my people come and add to what they're doing this season. Not take away. I don't think that's him. I think that's a religious spirit that wanted to do something, but that's my own opinion. That's not. The God that I know wants to add something to our lives, wants to be a part of our lives, and let us know how much he loves us. So if you can remember, because you're busy, I know, but set aside something for him, even an hour. It will make a huge difference to you. And if you have a wonderful time and you something happens and you want to testify about it, we'll hear your testimony. If it's just you and God, that's cool too. I love that. I spent lots of times where I just don't want to tell anybody about our time together. It's hard to say what he says and remain humble. Because he says wonderful things because he loves us so much. So, PGI is what the European Union, Protected Geographic, I think it should be a protected God indicator. PGI, protected God indicator. He'll protect you in this location that he wants to take you to. He did incredible things in and through Jesus in the wilderness. The enemy was trying to quote scripture to him, to get him off his game. And Jesus was prepared because he, as his father, had prepared his heart. You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. And as you go into a time with him, know that you are his beloved child. You are his beloved child. And even if you don't believe it, he is well pleased with you. Just turning your heart to him pleases him. He is well pleased in that. And he will heal your heart, if not other things as well. So I want to pray about that in just a minute. Reese, could you come and sing something for us and take our hearts into a place with him?